The reading tonight will be from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
Good to be with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, restful, and peaceful afternoon. What is the general attitude or disposition that you have? Do you have a good attitude as you go through life? There are many different kinds of attitudes that people have. There are different groups that people fall into. Some people are mad all the time. Some people are sad all the time. Some people are glad all the time. And as Christians, we should fall into that latter category. We eat from time to time at Mikasa up the road. I know that several of you do. Sometimes we go in there to eat and we see some of you in there. And there's one waiter particularly. I know that he has probably served you if you frequent there. And whenever he serves you, I can't recall exactly, maybe it's different times, sometimes when he's giving you the bill, he'll say, be happy. And I don't know why he started saying that or where you got that from, but it is pretty good advice. Be happy. And as Christians, that ought to be us, regardless of the situation, regardless of how life is treating us. We ought to be people who are filled with gladness. We certainly don't want to be in that group of people who are mad all the time. Like, how are we ever going to win anyone to Christ if every time they see us, we're grumpy and upset and we're always angry at this or at that? It's very hard to win people to Christ like that. And even if we're in the other category, if we're constantly sad, if we're always gloomy, if we're always down and depressed, again, how will we lead anyone to Christ? No one is going to look at us and say, I want whatever it is that you have. I want what it is that makes you so sad all the time. No one is going to want that. But when people see that we're glad, that we're happy, that we're constantly filled with joy, regardless of the circumstances of life, that is something that people might be interested in. And the truth is, we just ought to be a happy people. Now, that doesn't mean that we never get mad. Even Jesus was filled with righteous indignation, as we all know, when he cleansed the temple, he overthrew the tables, and he drove out the money changers, and he was angry at the sin that they were demonstrating. And we ought to be angered by sin. Not angry at people, not angry at the sinners per se, but sin itself ought to upset us. And I know that all of us from time to time are sad. There are things in life that happen that simply make us sad. And there isn't anything wrong with that. It's true with every one of us. But that shouldn't be the prevailing disposition that we demonstrate to the world around us. They ought to see gladness in us. We just heard the scripture reading here in Philippians 4 and at verse 4. And it's a very familiar and popular verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that really ought to represent all of us who are Christians. There's just too many reasons for us to be glad. And Paul, don't forget now, when Paul uttered those words, he was in prison. So the circumstances of his life, and we know Paul suffered as much as anybody ever has. He was constantly in trouble because of his Christianity, by those who are enemies of the cross and by those who are false brethren. He was constantly being chased and hunted down and persecuted. stoned and beaten with rods and whipped and all of that. And still he could rejoice and encourage other Christians to rejoice and to do it always. Because our joy doesn't depend upon the circumstances of life. We have so many reasons to rejoice. Let's look at a few of them just for a couple of minutes here tonight. Over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I should have said a few minutes. I'm not going to quit preaching in 2 minutes. So, 1 John chapter 1. And in this particular passage, as you might know, John is emphasizing fellowship. You want to know one reason why you should rejoice? And by the way, these things that we're looking at are things that we have access to on an ongoing basis. Every single day. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. These things, as long as you are faithful to the Lord, these things never change. So we can indeed rejoice always. But here's what John wrote. At verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. He's talking about Jesus, of course. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And in most translations, it is your joy may be complete. But it really doesn't matter one way or the other. We all ought to have full joy. In fact, I think that's the way the King James reads. So that your joy may be full. Why? Because we have fellowship with the Father. It's just a wonderful thing to contemplate that every day, no matter what, we are partners with God. Not equal partners, but we have an ongoing relationship with the Supreme Being. He's our Heavenly Father. And John says these things ought to fill you with joy. And as Christians, that's what we have. All the benefits and all of the blessings that go along with being in a relationship with the Supreme Being, being in a relationship with the Creator of all things, we have access to it all. Should we not be happy? I think we should be. And don't forget that this joy, this happiness under consideration, this happiness that depends not on the circumstances of life, but the blessings that we have in Christ, this wonderful joy that we have is a benefit for those who are in Christ. It is something that is limited. There are many people in this world who don't have what we have. And we should feel like we should brag over that or boast over that. It is a matter of God's grace. It is a wonderful blessing simply because we obeyed the gospel of Christ. But what we have is indeed unique, beginning with this fellowship with the Father. And we should rejoice. And we should rejoice every day about that. We should rejoice because of the wonderful state that we are in. Paul's statement in Philippians 4, again, as I just emphasized, remember he said, rejoice always, but he didn't stop there. He said, in the Lord. And all you have to do, and I've done it many times, I've preached sermons on this really, that you just get out of concordance and look at all of the different places where it talks about being in Christ and then see the blessings that are associated with that. It's worth rejoicing over. It should make us happy. One great passage that I often read is Romans chapter 8. Turn your Bibles over there. And this serves as a reminder of why we can be so happy all the time, but also a warning to those who haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 8, and at verse 1, this is what Paul writes. Romans, the 8th chapter, And at verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, again, that's important. In Christ Jesus, the word condemnation there means a damnable sentence. If you haven't obeyed the gospel tonight, you could be in trouble. You're in trouble, really, right now. But if you die in the state that you're in, you'll have eternal trouble. You'll have a damnable sentence. That will be your destiny. But for those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we're in this superior state of being. We're in a state of no condemnation. And watch what he goes on to say here. He emphasizes what that really means. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death has to do with the dominion of sin. We used to be slaves of sin, but now we've been set free. That should make you happy. You think of all the consequences of sin, namely, or at least most importantly, the wrath of God. That's a consequence of sin. We don't have to worry about that in Christ because we've been set free. That wrath, of course, plays out ultimately in a devil's hell. We don't have to worry about that because we've been set free. We're in a state of no condemnation. Sin and all of the consequences of sin is something that we have escaped. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The righteous requirement of the law. I've pointed out from time to time that, and this is worth rejoicing over, that as Christians we appear before God as if we have not sinned. This is one of the passages that prove that. With the righteousness of the law has been fulfilled in us. The righteous requirement of the law. What is that? You know by now, it's sinlessness. That's what the law required. And now Paul says that has actually been fulfilled in us. Why? Because the precious blood of Christ has washed away our sins. And you want to talk about rejoicing? That's another thing right there. The blood of Christ. The continual cleansing blood of Christ. If we were to go, in fact, let's go back right back over to 1 John chapter 1 and listen to what Paul, John continues to say in this particular passage on fellowship. He, first of all, gives us a warning that we can't walk in darkness and think we can have access to God or have this fellowship with God. He wrote that because even back in the first century, there were those teaching a false doctrine that says it really doesn't matter how you live your life. The seeds of Gnosticism were being planted already, and many of the Gnostics didn't believe that how you lived your life even mattered, because after all matter is sinful, and of course the physical body, that's matter. And so there's nothing we can really do about it. It's kind of a built-in excuse to sin. And so they taught a doctrine that led people simply to keep on sinning because it really doesn't matter. As long as your spirit's okay, you just keep on sinning. And that's why John wrote what he wrote here, specifically why he wrote it. He was attacking those seeds of Gnosticism, and he was letting people know it does matter how you live your life. And in fact, if you think you can have fellowship with God while you're walking in darkness, you lie, and the truth is not in you. So there's the warning. It does matter how we live our life. But he says at verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's another perfect tense verb, continual action. That's what the blood of Christ does. Now, it doesn't do it automatically, as some brethren used to teach some years ago, that you have to, whenever you sin, you have to repent of your sin. and ask God for forgiveness. But the point of it is, in Christ, we have constant access to this blood. We'll sing about the blood in the invitation song. The powerful blood of Jesus Christ. It washes away our sins. We have access to it. It is why we can maintain this situation where we stand before God as if we haven't sinned. But rejoice about that. Guess what? You have access to that blood right now. You'll have it tomorrow and next week and next month and next year, as long as you are alive here on earth. No matter what's going on in the world. So you can rejoice, and you can rejoice always. You have fellowship with God. You're in this state of no condemnation. And you can maintain it because God has made provisions by giving us access to the soul-cleansing blood of His Son. And then you can look at passages like Romans chapter 12. Turn your Bibles over there just for a moment. Romans, the 12th chapter, and one simple verse here, verse 12. Romans chapter 12, and at verse 12. Paul simply writes, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and constant in prayer. But notice the first part there. Rejoice in hope. That's something else we can hang on to. The hope of heaven ought to make us be glad. We ought to be filled with gladness. Because no matter what's going on right now, we have the hope of heaven. Heaven is the where of our hope. We think of what the Bible teaches. I know that it's not a perfect picture. I know there's no words that can describe heaven to us, but it paints a wonderful picture of heaven. A place where there be no tears, no sorrow, no crying of any kind, no suffering of any sort. A place where we will see God face to face. That's our hope. Paul says, rejoice in that. And as Christians, we can and we should. This is why all of these things is why joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Under the category of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. You know what that tells me, and you know what it should tell all of us? This business of rejoicing, this business of being happy as Christians as we go through life, it isn't really an optional situation. It is a command. It is a fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to maintain a relationship with God if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit. It all goes together. Huh? Who has the fruit of the Spirit? Those who are walking after the Spirit. Those who are being led by the Spirit. If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, somehow you have stopped following the Spirit. And all that means, there's nothing miraculous about that. We follow the Spirit when we follow the teachings of the Spirit. And so if we do that, according to Paul, joy will be a part of our life. How can it not be when we think of the hope of heaven, when we think of salvation? Turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 1 for just a moment or two. And we'll bring the lesson to a close. 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 3. Peter says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. There's the where of our hope. And you notice how Peter describes this, an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. We cannot lose it. It is not going to become corrupt. It is eternal. It's in heaven for us. Who by God's power are being guarded. He's talking about us now. Those who have obeyed the gospel. We're being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. We are protected by God. That's a wonderful thing to think about. The power of God that he's talking about there is the gospel of Christ, Romans 1. And at verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As long as we live by it, we're safe and secure. The devil can't harm us. Now watch, at verse 6, he says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Yes, there are going to be problems in life. As I said in the very beginning, we're all sad from time to time. We're grieved by different situations in life. And yet, Peter says here, we can rejoice at the same time. He says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That should be every single one of us. When? Always. Every day. What does it matter what's going on in life? No, it doesn't matter. We should be filled with joy that is inexpressible. What category do you fall into? Are you always mad? Are you always sad? Or are you always glad, filled with the gladness that is found in Christ? Can you say with Paul, I rejoice always in the Lord? I hope we're that kind of people. I hope that we take advice of that waiter. Be happy. I hope that's all of us. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Are you in a state of no condemnation? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, as we suggested, you're not in that state. Instead, it is sure that in your present state, if you die in this state, you will receive condemnation. You will experience the full force of God's wrath. You can avoid that, but you have to obey the gospel. You have to believe in Jesus and be baptized, Mark 16 and at verse 16. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living the way you ought to live, you need to do something about that. You too have lost that state of no condemnation. We didn't pay attention to it, but in that particular passage, you might recall that Paul goes on to say that it's only for those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If you've been walking after the flesh, you lose that state of no condemnation. Good news is you can do something about it right now. You can repent, ask God for forgiveness, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. Won't you do that? Get right with God. Do it right now as we together stand and say.